Hail and well met, folks. Tyrone here. Thanks again for listening. We would love it if you could share these episodes with your friends, but if you have the means to support us on Patreon, it would really help us to keep pumping these episodes out. You can check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/moduscritica or visit the website at moduscritica.com. If you haven't already, go and roll your way onto our Facebook page and give us a like. Thanks so much for your continued support, everyone. Anyway, enjoy episode 3 of Modus Critica. Modus Critica is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised. Last time on Modus Critica, our unlikely heroes awoke well-rested in the camp of the Knights of the Green. After words were exchanged with Sir Randrick Vestibule, the party set forth back to Evernight in hopes of having words with one of Dario's previous employers. They made way to the manor and were met with Charles, an immaculate butler who showed them some courtesy, and they were asked to lay waste to a suspicious someone in the basement of the manor. After slaying two zombies and a vampire spawn, the party descended the stairs into the dungeon below.
Welcome to the third session of Modus Critica. We are six friends, exactly where we're supposed to be, and we are here to roleplay, roll heads, and you got it, roll dice. These are the players.
I'm Eric, and I play Cornelius. I'll apologize in advance for my voice tonight because I am recovering from COVID. That's all.
Hi, my name is Kyle, and I'll be playing Dario Sedolfo. I do not have the COVID yet.
Thanks, buddy.
Hi, I'm Sid, and I play Gord Godhand, the Backhand of God. That's his full name that I wasn't supposed to tell anybody, but I'm telling you now in the third session.
Hello, I'm Zach. I play Nevlin, Thrice Great. He is a gnome wizard and not too keen on anyone else here at the moment. I'm here to fuck shit up.
Hey, my name's Caitlin. I play Torque Tortellini, who is a turtle monk and knows how to express a dog's anal glands. Just kidding. Caitlin knows how to do that.
That is staying good.
One is done. 100%. Okay, you all enter a dungeon.
No.
Torque readies his short sword.
I didn't know that that was the intro I needed until now.
Okay, so you guys are descending the spiral staircase from the second floor of the Barnabas Mansion, the manor, down to another staircase, which leads down into the dungeon below the manor. The catacombs are made with limestone, giving the air a strange aroma. The 5-foot-wide passageways are dimly lit at the top of its 10-foot walls, casting eerie, flickering lights on the moss-covered walls. As you move forward out of the entrance, there is a locked door directly in front of you, and the long passageway leads off to the left, where you can see several doors on both sides of the passageway. What do you guys do?
So in the darkness, you see the flicker of a small flame as Nevlin lights his pipe, and he takes several puffs. On his third puff, the ember of light shoots out of the pipe and starts casting an eerie golden light for about a 20-foot radius around us. And that, in turn, sheds slightly more light in an additional 20 feet around that. So those of us who can't see in the dark should be pretty good to go at this point.
Sweet.
Nevlin, I couldn't help but notice that a lot of your spells have to do with you smoking that pipe, but how are your lungs?
they're great, thanks for asking there, Dario. good as new.
We could probably get some hot water in a bowl later on for you to cloak over. Have you ever done that before?
Sounds like sorcery to me. I don't dabble in that stuff.
Yeah, you don't seem the type.
So you guys have been sent down here to deal with a certain someone in the basement, in the dungeons down here. So feel free to start exploring and asking questions.
What order should we go in? I am more than happy to go first.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I also
agree. Yeah, here.
I'll follow closely in behind you, Gord.
Yeah, me too.
Well, look, I'm the one keeping this light together, so I'm going to stay in the back so I got a good range of vision and I can, I can help you guys see.
I'm going to go near the back with Nevlin.
Torque will be behind Dario.
Torque, maybe behind me. You seem to be good with doors.
Oh, that's why you want to be close to you.
Oh, God.
It's not because there's a bond or anything, okay. Yeah, I'll go behind you. I'll do what you need me to do, Gord.
Perfect.
Okay, so you guys get your order going, and you start moving forward.
Yeah. What's up around the corner?
Hallway, couple of doors, and then a door in front of us.
It's really boring.
I say we go left.
Yes, so you're going to pass the door directly in front of you and head left.
Down the passageway. There's a door?
Yes, there's a door in front of us.
Oh, right.
I think, left. Gord is going to go right to that door. And
charge!
Open it. Yeah, he's going to try and open it.
Okay. You walk up to this door, and the door is locked.
Torque.
Okay, this door actually has a treble clef and a music staff arched above the door and seems to be lit magically. It looks pretty special. When you go to touch the handle, it's cold. You try and pull down on it, but it does not open. It is locked.
Torque, you want to take a look at this?
Sure, Gord, I'd love to. So Torque's going to go right up to the door and he's going to investigate.
I'll say, watch out, it was cold to the touch.
I sure don't want cold hands. Oh, boy.
Roll me a investigation check.
Okay. Oh, are you sure? So I rolled a 2, but Torque has -1 intelligence, so it's a 1.
Yeah, you have never seen this lock before. Or if you have, it's slipping your memory, and you're not quite sure if you know how to unlock it.
Oh, you see, Gord, I've unlocked so many locks in my day. I can't quite remember how to do this one. I mean, I'm sure I've done it, but I just can't seem to do it right at this very moment.
Hey, it's okay, little buddy. Don't you worry.
Can you just, like, break it down or something?
Maybe there is a key somewhere in another room. Before we go busting down doors, maybe we should check other places. This door won't change.
Well, I guess.
You sure about that?
I'm not sure about that, but I assume.
There we go. So.
Okay, Cornelius.
Yeah, Dario, I think you got a good idea. Let's try and push my way through between Nevelyn and Dario.
Hang on, wait a second, Gord. Me too.
I just
bulldoze everyone.
Okay.
Just scraping across the moss.
It's making a very annoying noise.
As you approach the first opening on the left of the passageway, you notice that the wooden door has been shattered beyond repair. The room is filled with dozens of broken stalagmites on the floor, creating difficult terrain. Various armaments sit on racks on the outer walls with an iron chest on the north wall.
Well, it looks like there's a treasure chest in there. Gord, if Gord willing, perhaps we could take a little look at that boy.
Well, I'll tell you what, there might be somebody in there, so I'll head first and keep you guys protected, and I'll move in.
Okay, here I come. I'm right behind you, Gord.
Excellent. And I'll head into the left of the room, or the southeast corner, and just keep an eye on things.
Yeah, you see, like, a few javelins, and there's a couple swords chilling.
Just chilling?
Yeah.
Does Torque sense if there's any kind of range weapon, like maybe a crossbow lying around?
You don't know.
Fucking Christ.
We're still a little upset.
Yeah.
Caitlin, as Torque takes that first step onto the stalagmites, I need you to roll me a dexterity saving throw.
Well, Torque is very dexterous, so the joke will be on you. Actually, he's mildly dexterous, but that's still a 17, Dungeon Master.
Okay, so you pass, but you step near the stalagmite as you're passing over top of it, and you hear something starting to shift and rumble under your feet, and then as you move out of the way, the stalagmite reforms, and a giant spike shoots up right beside you.
Oh, whoa, okay.
Oh boy, it looks like these guys are still a little bit active over here. Maybe we don't step on them.
Nevelyn, you know anything about stuff like this?
Yeah, I mean, not offhand. I can make a check, see if I know what you're in.
I mean, you're the wizard guy here. I'm just trying to figure it out.
Can you investigate the stalagmites? Are you gonna make?
I'll just do an investigation on the closest one towards me.
Okay, roll that up.
That's a dirty 20.
Nevelyn, you're looking down at the stalagmite directly in front of you, and you see a glyph, a warning glyph, underneath the stalagmite, probably the means of some sort of trap.
All right, Nevelyn turns to the party and he says, "All right, nobody touch the rocks. There's something weird going on with it. If we're gonna get to that chest, we gotta be real careful here, boys."
Yeah, I mean, I think I already kind of figured that out.
Can we grab any inanimate objects and just set them off?
Ooh, what's that one sport? High jumping or whatever, or pole vault? Can we just pole vault over them with something?
Oh,
is there a really large bendy stick in the room?
I do want to see Tork try this.
Can someone throw me? No, wait, I'm 450 pounds. Can throw me a javelin? can we just throw Nevelyn across the room to the chest? He's small.
I'm going to take the advice of somebody and take one of the items and just throw it in the middle of the room. So a javelin or a spear that's close to me, I'm just gonna, or one of the swords, I'll just throw into the middle of the room and see what happens.
I'm gonna grab a lid from one of these crates and that's lying around here, and I'm gonna chuck it out into the room as well.
Okay, from where you're standing, Gord, you toss a javelin and it sets off one of the traps, and you see another stalagmite come up. And Cornelius, as you throw the lid from the crate across the ground, it sets off a few, but there's still a lot left.
Well, it seems to be working, so everyone throw shit.
Do they stay sprung, or do they revert back?
They stay sprung.
Oh, how convenient. All right.
Let us go ham on this, and I'll pick up a crate and smash it out of there.
Okay, so you guys start throwing crates around.
I'm just gonna wreck this.
Nevelyn's smashing them all with his quarterstaff.
Fuck yeah.
Doing some target practice with javelins.
We're in a situation where you guys are probably just gonna take 20, so the entire room is now filled with stalagmites.
But we can get through them, right?
It's difficult terrain, but yeah.
Okay. That's all that matters.
Well, considering we're not an initiative, let's go.
Can Tork go up to that chest?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and they're all sprung, right?
Oh, yeah.
All the stalagmites are sprung now, yeah. You guys solved the puzzle.
They break shit.
In a very methodical way. Okay, so
what did you guys do to my armory?
I think I found a crossbow here for you, Tork.
Don't even go there. You're giving me crossbow blue balls. Tork is going up to the chest that's in the back of the room, and he's gonna check and see if it's locked.
Yeah, he checks and it's open. And as you open it, you see a fairly large bounty. There's a pouch containing 2 obsidian gems, a crossbow with 6 silver bolts.
Fuck off!
And a set of thieves' tools.
Really? Oh my god, Tork's gonna cry. Caitlin's gonna cry. Everyone's gonna cry. That's very exciting. So Tork turns to everybody and just is honest about it and says, "Hey, you guys, I found these really big black balls or whatever that might be worth, I don't know, maybe a couple gold. But there's this really, really, really nice crossbow, and I mean, I was just thinking that if nobody else wanted it, because I kind of didn't get one last time, and there's some bolts to go with it, and maybe it could be mine. Maybe I could keep it. Is that okay with everybody?"
"You just pay us back later."
"Nah, I want it."
Nah, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, there's about to be a really big fight. There's going to be a really big crossbow-shaped bolt hole in Nevlin.
Knock yourself out, kid.
Really? Gord, do you think it's is it all right? Do you think it's okay?
Well, I might need a little bit of adult supervision, but...
But I mean,
she was asking me, Cornelius, but okay. Are you confused who you are?
Well, I like...
No.
I like Cornelius' answer, though, so I mean, that's fine. As long as I can have it, I don't really mind. But I mean, let me remind you, I'm 9 years old, and that's like a lot of years, so I have a lot of experience. I wouldn't worry so much, you guys.
Well, I see this room full of tools. Looks like just another one that you could use.
Oh, thanks, Gord. You just made me real happy. All right, thanks, guys. You can have all the other junk in there, all right?
All right. That sounds good. At that point, if we got time to just check around, yeah, I want to do a little perception check, search around, and see if there's anything of note. I only got 13.
So, Dario, as you search along the edge of the room, you find 6 javelins, 1 short sword, and 1 set of studded leather armor.
I'll grab the studded leather.
Studded leather.
Studded leather.
Hot.
Studded leather. Okay.
I just put it in my backpack. I'm like, okay.
Does anyone need any javelins or a short sword, perhaps?
Fuck no.
I'll take a javelin. No.
You know what? I'll take a javelin.
Attach one to my back.
I'll take the other javelins. You know what? I'm just gonna take shit. Take shit to hold shit.
Okay, you're taking shit to hold shit.
Dario's right. Just like weighted down with all this gear that he's carrying.
I forgot about encumbering.
So
guys, help me.
You guys have found everything in that room. You wanna move along?
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's get out of this room of death.
Yeah, so as you come down the hallway, there's a door on your left and a door on your right. They don't appear to be locked or anything.
Well, you want to go to the door on our left?
Yeah.
Let's go to the north door.
The north door.
North left door.
As you open the door and walk into this room, there are stairs that traverse 6 feet down, leaving the room fairly chilled for food storage. There are various slabs of cured meat, fine cheese, fresh fruits, and vegetables, rare for someone living in the Shadowfell.
Well, that looks boring as hell. Let's move on to the next room.
I'm going in.
Well, I'm a little... Maybe we could just have a little bit of a snack.
Okay, let's...
Cornelius, roll an investigation check.
Oh, that was a big old 4.
Oh, yeah, you don't find shit except for the obvious.
All right, Nevlin's gonna go poking around in that room as well. That's a 4.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you guys are just at a loss.
Torque very confidently walks up behind Nevlin, and he investigates as well. Oh, Jesus Christ. Will 3 do it?
How many idiots does it take to smell cheese?
Suddenly,
does anybody else on this limited time podcast want to make another check that is more than 4?
I mean, no. I'd like to.
And you know I'm what, going Zach? To... Zach, you take a 20. You take a 20, you spend an hour, and you find 5 good berries.
All right, good berries.
Oh, Nevlin, you got some of those berries that are real good. Do you think maybe, do you need all of them? Like, I'm pretty hurt real bad. Can I have maybe 1 or 2, whatever you don't need?
Jeez, you want me to eat them for you too, or what, Tork? Come on.
Well, no, because how would that help me?
Nevlin, will give Torek all the good berries.
All of them? That's really
nice. Yeah,
you can
take them.
Wow, thank you so much, Nevlin. I feel so much better already. And Torek just eats every single one of them. He just eats all of them.
Don't eat them all. You're going to get blood.
Does he have, stained lips or anything?
No, yeah. You're covered in the good berries, but you gain 10 hit points.
Only 10?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's what good berries do. 2 hit points.
Those are some miraculous berries.
You guys heading back to the other door across
the
hall?
Yeah, I was thinking that we should all check out the other door. Maybe
the one across the hall.
Try to look in there.
You open the door, and there is a magical glyph on the far wall as you walk into this room that seems to be emitting a frosty air, freezing everything in sight. Laying on wooden pallets are various slabs of meat and fish.
Hmm. Nevlin will go check out that glyph.
Yeah, it's a standard glyph casting...
Ray of Fridge.
Ray of Frost. It's casting a mild ray of frost and it's broker. Just freezing everything. You've seen everything in the freezer.
So we continue down the hallway east?
Yes.
Gord, as you're walking down the hallway past the freezer and the storeroom, you walk into a solid mass. It hits you like a wall of bricks that you didn't
see. It's like a wall of bricks here.
As you walk into this wall, flames start to swirl as they turn into the face of a devil. I need you to take 2 fire damage as the fire swirls. And as this fire swirls into the face of a devil, it asks,
"Be you keen on your desires, the lake of truth may douse the fires. Tell me most of all you yearn. And with this said, the key you'll earn."
I mean,
I don't get it, guys.
I don't like making deals with devils, but for what I yearn for, I yearn for my family.
Nothing happens.
Is the fiery face still there?
Yeah, with a blank expression on its face.
Anybody else got any ideas?
I'm not the best at riddles.
Nevlin pushes his way to the front and he's gonna stand in front of this. The visage is holding, yes?
Yep.
You there, demon, tell me the riddle.
And he looks at you and says,
"Be you keen on your desires, the lake of truth may douse the fires. Tell me most of all you yearn. And with this said, the key you'll earn."
With this said, the key you'll earn. With this said, the key you'll earn.
We've come to kill the beast!
Nothing happens.
Do I remember any water in any of the rooms that we went and saw?
No.
Oh, jeez.
Does anyone have any pee? Pee on it.
Dario, do you know what they would yearn for? I mean,
blood. Blood. Right?
Nothing happens.
Well, this is the part where we all part ways.
We gave it our best try.
Come on, guys. I thought you'd get this no problem. What do you yearn to do?
Let us through!
Oh my god! Torque just approaches the fiery face and he just looks up and says, "Excuse me, I'd like to get by now."
And the door dissipates.
Torque, you genius!
Y'all can...
Nevlin casts minor illusion to spit out the water he wasn't drinking.
Upon entering this room, you see mountains of sacks and boxes filled to the brim with different herbs and alchemical components. 2 shelves on the east wall are home to an array of vials and bottles, and on the south wall, you see a reinforced gate made with a very fine metal.
So there's a gate on the south wall and some boxes.
let's investigate this gate. I mean, we know why we're here. Everything has led us to this point except for that other door, which we couldn't get in.
Okay, so you guys are just going to check out the gate?
I'll check out other
10 feet
stuff.
Away from-
okay, Dario, roll me a perception.
Oh, thank goodness. 14.
Yeah, you go to the shelves on the east wall, and you find 2 potions of healing and a potion of climbing. In and about the random vials and bottles that are in
there's
there.
I'm going to pocket the climbing one. And I'll be like, I found 2 potions of healing.
Oh, okay.
I'd love to get my hands on one of those.
Yeah, I'll hand them out, no problem. I hand one to Cornelius, and I'll be like, anyone else need some healing? I already can heal, but in case I can't get to you or I die, you should have one.
I'm actually going to pop a good berry in my mouth at this point and be like, you know what? Good berry.
Does anyone else take the other potion of healing?
Torque?
Yeah, Dario, give me one of those there. I'm not quite as heavily armored as you lot.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Okay, so 1 to Korn, 1 to Nev.
Can a little Tor boy go up and inspect the gate?
Absolutely you can. As you approach the gate, you can see that it's made of a genius design, even just looking at it. There are 6 steel bars crossed on an angle over top cross-hatched steel plates, each with a stone button attached to a locking mechanism. Imprinted on each of the stone buttons is a different letter reading C, D, E, F, G, A, and B. Through the crosshatch steel, you can see a humanoid figure in black robes moving at supersonic speeds throughout the laboratory, pouring different concoctions into various vials and beakers, all the while laughing maniacally.
Hey, listen, I don't know much, but I know that that's some kind of musical staff. I think we should take a look at that first door that we came to and see if we can find any clues.
Yeah, okay, I think that's probably a good idea. I don't think my thieves' tools are really going to do a whole lot, and I'm more of a painter myself. I don't really know about music.
All right, I'll keep an eye on this door while you guys head back.
Okay, so
Gord, do you want to go take a look?
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys go back to the first door.
I'll wait with Gord.
I'll go with you, Torque, as well.
Hey, Cornelius, is cheese the only thing you eat?
No, I like a lot of different foods like most people. It's just, you know...
Nevlin and Torque, you guys head back to the door that you came to first. And it is literally just a... musical staff with a treble clef on it that's lit musically. There are no notes. There's nothing else there except the staff and the treble clef. I want you both to roll me an intelligence check,
oh,
though, please.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah,
Torque's
baby.
Torque's not the one for this.
That's an 18 from Nevlin.
That's a 10 minus okay. 1, so that's a 9.
Yeah, Torque, you tried really hard to think, but you just can't do it. And Nevlin, you recall upstairs that there was a large piano in the living room.
Oh. Is this some Goonies
nobody,
shit right here?
That nobody investigated at all.
Aw.
Ah, jeez.
Do you know what this means, Nevlin?
Well, Torque, I think we're going to have to go look at that piano. I don't know.
Hey, you guys. Do you find anything down there? Guys?
Cornelius, I don't know, man. I think maybe we gotta go look at that piano that was upstairs.
Oh, man, this is some goody shit.
Try not to wander too much while you're up there again.
Yeah, it's okay. We never say die. Let's go upstairs, Nevlin.
Yeah, we going up there then?
I guess so. You say we gotta look at the piano.
So, wait. Do you know how to... Does anybody here know how to play piano?
I can play a mean hot cross buns, but that's the extent at which my talent goes.
Yes, I am not musical in any sense.
I wish this was a painting challenge.
Nevlin and Torque, Dario, you all head upstairs back to the piano. As you guys approach the large piano, you see that there is a music stand, and behind the music stand there are 5 lines engraved into the wood, and over those lines are painted a treble clef and 6 musical notes, which for the listeners, I am now showing the party. Nevlin, you did a lot of studying in the Circle of Magi. Am I correct to think that you would know a bit about the musics?
Yeah, I think the Circle touched on many apocryphic languages, and amongst them they did teach us a little bit about musical scale.
Okay, so roll me an intelligence check.
17 total.
Okay, yeah, you can totally discern that the notes painted on the engraved staff lines are E, G, A, E, B, D.
E, G, A, E, B, D.
Yeah.
So, Nevlin, do you know what that means on the thingy with the dot?
Yeah. I think this might be the code for the door. Let's take this information downstairs and we'll try it out. And Nevlin cracks his fingers and says, I'm just gonna have a little playthrough here to get our ears used to it. And he is going to play those notes in order on the piano.
Holy shit. Yeah, he is.
Of course he does.
You play those notes on the piano, and a slab of stone moves within the unlit hearth to the south of the room, revealing a chest.
I hope it's a crossbow.
Again?
Well...
Can I have too many?
There's no guard
Dorky
around.
Dario, should we check this out?
Oh, yeah, we gotta see what's in that chest. It could be another crossbow.
Be careful, though. It could be a trap. So, Torque, do you want to sniff around there for me?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm not going to sniff. I'm just going to check it out using mostly my eyes. but I'll go have a look.
Roll me an investigation check.
Use your deadly clawed hands.
Why do I keep investigating things when I have no intelligence? Okay, so 15 minus 1, 14.
Yeah, it's just a standard chest. It's not locked.
Okay, Torque's gonna open it.
Yeah, you open it and there's a pouch of 200 gold pieces.
You guys were rich. I found all this money. Do you want it?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I'll take that.
Okay, here you go, Nevlin. I trust you with it.
All right, yeah, of course you can. I'll count it up later.
Okay.
Nevlin pockets the pouch of gold.
Nice.
Dario takes out his notation. He's like,
Dear diary.
And we'll head back down to the door.
Okay.
But as we cross the door with the blank musical staff on it,
yeah,
I would like to investigate it.
Yeah, roll me an investigation check.
Oh, that's a natural 20, boys and little girls.
Okay. Yeah, you can see that this is a magically lit door, but it doesn't really serve a purpose.
There's no interface.
No.
Okay. I'm betting this is a door that lets you out of the dungeon quick when you're done it all. Let's keep going.
So anyways, Gord, so after you let the curds hang in a cloth overnight, you could just put that into a pot and mix it up a little bit, and boom, cottage cheese.
You guys, I think we got the answer.
I
don't want to hear about cheese.
I was just gonna tell him about the radish dish that I made last week.
I guess you're gonna have to hold off on that.
Oh, God, don't let us interrupt. We just have the answer for the puzzle door. It's no big deal.
Oh, fuck, you do? Did you guys find anything up there?
Yeah, what's,
Yeah, we found a big, yeah. We found a big sack of gold.
The answer to the
you
puzzle
found some
door.
Gold
I gave
doors?
The gold no. to Nevlin, though. Don't worry, he's gonna
take care. Oh, yeah, we did find a little bit of gold. The gold is not the issue here, okay? I got the puzzle door answer.
All right.
Dario, we'll talk.
I think I just gotta maybe press these buttons in the right order, and Nevlin will see if he can manipulate the markings on the door in the order of E G A E T D.
Yeah, you enter the notes into the gate, and the steel bars start to retract. The crosshatch plates recede into the walls, and the person that is moving at supersonic speeds stops and immediately notices you and plants his feet into the ground, holding a defensive stance, and I need you all to roll initiative.
This is the first roll. Sometimes Gord rolled a 12.
Dario rolled a 5.
That's okay. Torque rolled a 13.
Cornelius rolled a natural 21.
Ooh.
Nevlin rolled an 8.
Wow.
Okay, top of the round, it's Cornelius' turn.
Well, I'm going to move up closer to the door, once again, get beside Nevlin, and I'm going to produce flame, but I'm just going to hold it, and I guess that I will ready an action that if the creature that is in the other room gets within 15 feet of the door, how far from the door is it?
He's 15 feet from the door.
Fuck, I'm just going to throw my flame at him then.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do.
So roll to attack.
That's an 8.
Okay, that's gonna miss.
Well, fuck. That's my turn.
Okay.
Ribbon.
All right, the next up is gonna be Torque.
Oh, no.
Hey, Torque. Torque, get in there.
Oh, okay, Gord, that's all you had to say. So, Torque could definitely easily, I feel, run up to this guy and just try and gut him, but instead, Torque's gonna step into the doorway just in front of Gord, and he's gonna pull out his new crossbow, and he's gonna try and shoot this mystery person villain with his new crossbow.
Okay, roll the hit.
So, oh my god. So, this isn't exactly the way that I wanted Torque's first time with his beloved crossbow to go, but he rolled a nat 1.
I don't want
any of you adults to say, like, we told you so, or anything like that, okay?
Well, we'll wait till they let the D6 decide, so roll your D6.
Oh my god, I can't believe this. Like, Caitlin is embarrassed, actually.
I should call it, like the D sucks.
Oh, my God. Okay, give me some... Wait, one, two, hit the floor. Let's just hope it's one or two.
No, that's fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Why did I try and rhyme one, two, hit the floor?
On the floor. It's a... One, two, get on the floor, because two rhymes with one.
And don't let anybody tell you how to make your own poetry.
I'm an artist. Okay, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I rolled a three, so that's hit the floor.
So 3-4 hit the floor, yeah. So you go to shoot this thing, and the sheer power of this crossbow just, like, blows you back, and you fucking go ass over tea kettle, and you hit the ground on your back, and you're totally, like, that
on my
turtle.
Shell?
You're just flailing, yeah.
Okay, this is... Torque has, like, lived through some really intense family trauma, but this is the most embarrassing moment of his
and
life.
You are prone.
No!
Cord uses his free action to help him up and be like, it's okay, we all get nervous sometimes, Torque. Don't worry about it.
As Gord touches...
Everybody gets gun-shy.
Oh, it's a crossbow, Gord, not a gun.
You are prone. Gord can't help her up with the free action. So you are prone.
Okay, well, Torque's going to use... he still has another 30 feet of movement, so he's going to stand up.
Yeah, okay, so you stand up and...
Very awkwardly.
And it's going to be Gord's turn now. Gord, as you enter the room, you see a tall, elven, vampire-looking motherfucker with black robes on. He looks similar to the robed figures that you would have seen at the courtyard in Evernight during that ritual that happened, except for it's also dissimilar. It's a little bit different, but you can definitely tell that this is a fiend, some sort of vampire.
Instantly, Gord drops his equipment. Again, little thing triggers in his brain, thinking back to his first time in Evernight, and he goes into a rage, takes out his glaive, and swipes down on this fiend.
Okay, roll the hit.
That's a 25.
25, yeah, that's gonna be a hit.
Okay, and that'll be 12 damage.
Okay. Okay.
And that's my turn.
Yeah, so you come at this guy with the glaive and you slash him right across the chest. And you don't see much blood come out, probably because he doesn't have that much, but he does the damn thing. Next, it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
All right, Nevlin moves into the doorway. From a pouch at his side, he produces just a small burnt twig. And still muttering his incantations, he holds it up in front of himself and he snaps it in half. And as soon as it snaps in half, this crackling blue energy starts feeding itself up his arms to his hands. And he launches a witch bolt at the vampire.
Nice.
That's a 25 to hit.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
Excellent. And he does 1d12 damage there. So that does 8 damage to him now, but for up to a minute of concentration, is just feeding this energy into the vampire. So on my next turn, it will automatically do another d12 damage and continue to do so for the next minute.
Okay. All right. Yeah, this bolt comes ripping down and shucks the motherfucking vampire, ripping its flesh. And with that, it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right. So I'll see people proceed into the room. I'll move down as well. I kind of sneak past Nevlin, just beyond him, just in front of him. After that first slash that I see across the fiend, I point at him and I'm like, Mercule's bell calls for you.
Ooh.
And I cast Toll the Dead. He has to make a wisdom saving throw with a DC 13.
Oh, yeah. Rolls a 14.
So you guys hear the chime, dolorous tones of death, but he's unshaken.
And okay.
Ding dong.
And then I'll move off to the side for the last bit of movement. It does sound like that.
It's not very threatening.
It's just a foghorn.
Okay, then it's going to be the pale man's turn.
Oh my god, what if he just tries to, like, shake our hand or something and welcome us?
Oh, it's so good to see guests here. Oh.
And at supersonic speeds, this thing moves up right in between Dario and next to Gord. It's going to multi-attack. So it is going to bite at you, Gord. And that's going to be 17 to hit.
That hits.
Okay. It's going to do 1d6 plus 3 damage. So that's going to be 4 regular damage and 2d6 necrotic damage for 5 more damage of the necrotic nature.
Awesome.
It then is going to claw out at you as well. That's going to be a 19 to hit.
Yes, it does hit.
Okay, and that's going to be 2d4 plus 3, so 6 damage in total, slashing damage.
So anything that was regular got reduced in half, so...
Cool. And then with that, the vampire is going to disengage from the two of you, and he's going to wave his arms around, and you see a small fog gathering around his hands, and out of the bottom there is a cage, and out of this cage, two skeletons as he casts Animate Dead. Okay, top of the round, it's Cornelius' turn again.
All right, I'm going to... You know what? I'm going to go right into the room. I'm going to go right up where the vampire used to be, up by Gord and Dario, and I'm going to chuck my fucking javelin at it.
Yeah, use your new shit.
Okay, roll the hit.
Okay. That's going to be a 13.
That's not going to do it. You're throwing it at the vampire, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, not going to do it.
Oh, man.
And then I'm going to do nothing because I can't move anymore. I'm okay. Not supersonic like this vampire.
Then it's gonna be Torque's turn.
Okay, Torque is still outside the room, so he doesn't really know what's going on inside. He probably can't see the vampire anymore. He might not even know it's a vampire yet. I don't know. So he's just going to kind of run into the room past Nevlin and Cornelius, and he's gonna stop beside Gord, and the vampire is pretty well directly in front of him, almost off to the side, and he's gonna swing out at it with his short sword.
Okay, roll the hit.
Ah, dirty 20.
Yep, that'll do it.
Fucking thank God.
Roll damage.
So it'll be 12 damage in total.
Okay. So it doesn't do as much damage as it ought to. But good effort.
Torque's gonna use his bonus action to swipe out with his turtle claws that won't really do a whole lot either, but he's gonna give it his best shot. And that's gonna be a 21.
That'll hit.
And that'll be 9 claw damage.
Okay. So yeah, you come at this thing with your short sword, you connect, you slice at it pretty good. But again, no blood in this thing. It doesn't really do as much as it normally would. So you come back with the claws and you try and slit its throat like you seem to do to all the other creatures in this game.
And other games too.
Again, just doesn't do as good of a job. Is that going to be your turn?
Yeah, that's his turn.
Okay, then it's going to move on to Gord.
Gord is going to, his eyes bulge with rage as he sees the vampire and then the skeletons. And because he knows how to kind of protect, he's gonna move down towards the vampire, but far enough away, flick his glaive at him, and then move into a spot right up in front of the skeletons.
Okay, roll the hit.
Does a 12 hit?
No.
All right, then he will continue on and get up to the skeletons and just be like, "Rah!" and look back to Dario and be like, "I need health."
What a time all you right. chose.
And with that narrow miss, it's going to be the first skeleton's turn. It sees you approach it, and honestly, I think it buckles a little bit. Skeletons are supposed to be void of emotion, but he looks... like, you know, he may be buckled a bit. But he's still going to do the damn thing. And he's going to come at you with the short sword. That's going to miss. That's a 7 to hit.
Does not hit.
And with that, it's going to be Nevlin. It's going to be your turn.
Yeah, Nevlin just keeps pumping electricity into this guy. Hot damn, that's maximum damage. He does 12 damage.
All right.
Power! Unlimited power!
Yeah!
That's my turn.
Alright. Then it's gonna be Dario's turn.
Hearing Gord, he's going to move down past Torque, past Cornelius, right in behind Gord, and I call upon the powers of Mercure. Heal this man's wounds, and I press my hand on the back of your back.
My ripply muscular
You're
back.
So good at
yeah, I touch it.
Words.
Yeah, and I'll roll a d8. Heal you up.
Don't worry, Gord. I'm here to help.
And I heal you 6 hit points.
Excellent. Oh, I feel it. I feel it in my body. It's nice, Dario. Thank you.
Right in between your shoulder blades.
With that, the tall, pale, vampire-looking motherfucker is going to... he's going to multi-attack. He's going to try and bite you, Torque.
Ugh, that's so dumb.
That's going to be a 14 plus 6 for a dirty 20 to
Are
hit.
Are you fucked?
I mean, I am, but that's besides the point.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I guess it hits.
Well, just because of the sass, you get max damage for 9 damage. On that front, that's 9 regular damage. And then you're going to take 2d6 necrotic
What's
damage on top of that.
You?
For 8 damage, so total 17 damage.
I am minus 2 HP. Torque,
right, you guys see Torque drop to the ground
the
and goes and retreats into his shell. It's the best game.
No, Torque is having a really traumatic day today. Oh my god.
I'm just gonna go ahead and bang.
That is so unnecessarily dramatic. Thank you.
It's pretty good. For those of you listening, I just, we used Roll 20, and I just made a big X on Torque.
Yeah, and it was really stupid. He didn't need to do that.
Well, I wouldn't know otherwise.
Otherwise, I wouldn't know if you were
like,
I wouldn't know. I'd be like, you're looking like a turtle to me.
Of your
Half
almost
the time
death.
I don't even know if you're standing. Jesus.
So the vampire-looking motherfucker moves over to you, Dario.
I hope he bites you.
He's trying to claw you.
Okay. 16 AC.
That's not gonna hit. It's an 8.
Alright. I bring up my coffin lid shaped shield. Fucking block it.
Did you steal that from the other room?
No, I've always had this.
Oh.
He's now going to try and cast Ray of Frost at you. And that's not gonna hit either.
I think you mean refrigerate.
Yeah, right.
Refrigeration Ray.
With that, it's going to be the skeleton number 2. This skeleton's not buckling so much there, Gord, and he's going to throw his back into his short sword. And he does so. It's an 18 plus 4 to hit. That's going to be a 22. All right, he's going to do 1d6 plus 2 damage, and that's min damage. So you're going to take 3 piercing damage, which I'm assuming will be halved.
Yeah. So yeah. Would that be 2 or 1?
So take 2 damage.
Okay. Fucking babies.
It's going to be top of the round, Cornelius.
All right, Cornelius is going to rush over to Torque and jam a potion of healing into his mouth.
All right, roll that up.
I'm going to have to reach deep inside my shell.
Yeah.
Sick. That's going to be 8 hit points. That math was very
yeah.
hard for some reason.
Yeah. Torque immediately emerges.
All right, so Torque, you do one of those crazy ninja off your back handspring thingies, and you stand up.
Even though I feel like that'd be really hard for a turtle, he definitely does do that.
Yeah, totally. And with that, it's going to be your turn.
Oh, shit. Back with a vengeance, baby. Okay, so Torque is just going to... He's going to go straight for the weird vampire guy, and he's going to take a swing with his short sword.
Okay, roll the hit.
It's going to be a 17.
That's going to do it.
And Woo! The damage will be 9 in total.
Mm. It's actually at advantage if you want to roll again for a nat 20.
Oh.
Because you're flanking.
Of course I want to roll again for a nat 20. But I didn't roll 1. I rolled a 9.
Okay. Well, it's still a hit. What's your damage?
9 in total.
9 damage?
Yes, please.
All right.
And then he's going to, of course, use his turtle claws.
Yep. You lay into him with the short sword, does a bit of damage, and you're coming at him with your turtle claws. Roll to hit.
So that will be a 17.
And that will also hit.
And that's...
400 damage.
Yeah, go with it, sure. There'll be 10 damage in total.
Okay. You scratch his back.
in a bad way, though, right? Like, he didn't like it?
He likes it. He liked it a little bit.
I don't like that he liked it.
And with that, it's going to be Gord's turn.
Yeah, there's adults around.
Awesome. Yeah, Gord is going to swing his glaive wildly and then just do a hard flick at the vampire behind him. That is a 25 to hit.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
Excellent. That is 15 damage.
Nice. Yeah, this one's a doozy. And as you slice into its chest, now has a massive open wound. And he grimaces as he looks down at the wound and then grits his teeth and retains his defensive stance. Is that going to be your turn?
Excellent. That is my turn.
Okay. The first skeleton is going to straight up attack you, Gord, at advantage, as you are currently flanked by him and the vampire-looking motherfucker. That's going to only be a 15 to hit.
That hits.
Okay. And that's going to be 1d6 plus 2 for 6 damage total, slashing.
So 3.
Yep. Then it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
All right, Nevlin, I'm still attacking this guy with that lightning. So anyways, I start blasting. Damn, that's 10 damage this round. That's it. That's all I'm right.
Good. Yeah, no, this thing fucking lightning fucking flares in and just fucking zaps the motherfucker. Then it's going to be Dario.
Okay, I turn towards the vampire and I'll be like,
"You will not be outside the reach of Mercure."
And I point a finger. It flares in a white light and shoots out at him. Cast Guiding Bolt. Nice. That's a ranged spell attack for radiant damage. Yeah,
roll to hit.
Fuck me. 10. Or 11.
11's not going to do it.
Oh, it zips right past him and hits the wall. And I'm like, shit, shit. And that's and then I'm going to move, disengage, and move down beside Gord.
All right, the vampire motherfucker is seemingly pissed. He moves in to attack you, Dario, with his bite. That's an 18 plus 6, so 24 to hit.
Oh, totally.
So that's going to be 1d6 plus 3 piercing damage, max damage, so 9 piercing damage, and then you're going to take 2d6 necrotic damage as well for 3 damage. Oh, necrotic damage.
That's my I've been hit reaction.
Yeah, so that's the bite. He does bite you very vigorously, and then he's going to sort of like step back half a step, and then he's going to come back in at you with his claws. And that's going to be a hit as well. 17 plus 6 for 23.
He is, and that fucking will do my day.
2d4 plus 3 slashing damage.
This could do it, guys.
So that's going to be 10 slashing damage.
Yeah, I'm down for the count.
Oh, no. Dario drops after this grimace fingernail just cuts into his throat, and he just starts pouring blood out. Dario hits the ground unconscious. And then it's going to be the second skeleton's turn, and he's going to come at you hard-gored. Hard-gored.
I like hard-gored. It. I like yeah. It.
With with his short sword, and he now is...
thrust hard.
You're being flanked again, bro.
Both ends.
So that's at advantage, and it's going to be 18 plus 4 for 22 to hit, which I'm pretty sure hits. So that's going to be 8 piercing damage. All right,
so down to 4.
And then it's going to be top of the round, Cornelius.
Indeed. Cornelius actually sees what Nevlin is doing, sees him concentrating. He's going to stand in front to kind of, you know, give him cover. And from here, I'm going to produce flame and huck it at the vampire.
Okay. Roll the hit.
Because that's what I do. That's 19, 25.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
And the damage, the fire damage, is 7.
Yes. The flames seem to light his blouse on fire and burns his skin. He pads it out. And
I put my arms on my side and go, ha ha! Ha ha!
Is that going to be your turn?
That's my turn.
All right, then it's going to be Torque.
Okay, Torque is going to take a step away from the vampire, and he's going to drop his short sword and pull out his crossbow, and he's going to attempt to shoot the vampire with his new crossbow.
Okay, roll the hit.
Oh, fucking great. Oh, it's a fucking 9.
Yeah, 9's not going to do it, unfortunately.
That's his turn.
Okay, then it's going to be Gord's turn.
Gord's gonna yell, "I need some help here! Get over here!" And keep on swinging at the vampire.
Okay, roll the hit.
And that's gonna be a 16.
That hits.
Perfect. Aw, oh, nice. 15 damage.
Yeah, you can see these glaive attacks paired with the lightning is starting to take its toll on this Tom Cruise looking motherfucker.
And a little bit of fire.
And
and a little bit of fire. Fire. And that's Gord's turn.
All right. And it's going to be the skeleton again. Just going to roll to try and pierce you with his short sword. That's going to be a 14 to hit.
That hits.
All right. And that's going to do 1d6 plus 2 damage for 4 damage.
All right. Reduced to 2.
And then it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
Nevlin pumps another 5 lightning damage into the vampire.
All right. It's wearing on him. He's kind of like buckling and going down to one knee. He's really struggling to stay standing at this point. But with that, it's going to be Dario's turn. I need you to make your first death saving throw.
Ooh, please. Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that in here. Come on. There you go.
That is going to be a fail for 3.
I cough out some blood.
All right. The Tom Cruise vampire, pale skin looking motherfucker, heals a little bit as he stands back fully to his feet, and he is going to come down on you again, Gord, and is going to, at advantage, try and bite you. That's going to be a 17 plus 6 for 23.
Yep.
All right, you're going to take your first d6 plus 3 damage. That's going to be 5 damage.
Reduced to 3.
You still good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did that include necrotic damage?
No, that's right now. That's coming. 2d6 necrotic damage for 9 necrotic damage.
Yeah. So you see Gord loosen his glaive a little bit. You see him lean back, and then everything tightens up again as he just lets this thing suck away at him, and he just stares at it in the eye and is like, "Fucking do it then." And he'll use his relentless endurance to stand back up.
Okay. So does that put you back to 1 hit point or something?
Puts me back to 1 hit point. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Onwards, it's going to be the second skeleton who's at advantage going to come at you with a short sword. And that's going to be a 19 plus 4 to hit.
And Gord gets slashed in the back and collapses.
Hold on. Let me roll damage. Oh, yeah, it's max damage. Yeah. Carry on.
Yeah. So the vampire's on me. Gord's just being slashed in the back as he's just hanging there.
You fall unconscious?
Yep.
Okay, so you all see Gord fall unconscious to the ground. And with that, it's going to be top of the round, Cornelius' turn.
Fuck. Okay, so... Fuck. Cornelius is not super stoked on this. I'm going to try something here.
Please do.
Yeah, I want to use rabbit hop. Now, what I want to do is I want to kind of run towards Gord and then hop past the vampire to land beside Gord. Now, rabbit hop is a bonus action, and you can jump a number of feet equal to 5 times your proficiency bonus without provoking opportunity attacks.
So you can jump 10 feet.
Yeah. Or you could just get to Gord without provoking an attack of opportunity.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I was like trying to be adventurous, but I'll do a half circle over to Gord, and I'm going to lay my hand on his crotch and cast Cure Wounds.
Okay.
I don't know half-orc anatomy.
He's got armor.
So go ahead and roll that up for Gord.
That's going to be 8 hit points.
All right, Gord, you stand up to your feet with 8 hit points.
I then let go of his crotch.
Okay. Long enough for him to just know that your hand was there.
Yep. I got you, Gord.
Is that your turn then?
Yeah.
Okay, then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, this time Torque's really going to hit him.
Okay, roll the hit then.
He's going to try and shoot with his crossbow again. That's a dirty 20.
That's gonna do
it. Fucking finally, this sweet little turtle boy is going to use his crossbow properly.
Finally figures it out.
Yeah, poor little guy. Now, if only I could find my D8.
Oh, you gotta pull it back.
If only he knew, it was so easy. Okay, so that'll be 12 damage with his silvered arrow. Bolt.
Bolt. Yeah, and this vampire Tom Cruise, pale skin looking motherfucker, has no idea that this is coming. And you shoot him with this silver bolt, and it sticks directly in his neck, right when he's about to say something, and he's like, and he ain't talking for a smidge here, but he pulls it out of his neck, and you see a bunch of coagulated blood just kind of ooze out
of
his neck.
Is it other people's blood?
You don't really know. It's just a kind of a black ooze. Is that going to be your turn?
Yeah.
Okay, then it's going to be Gord's turn.
Yeah. Gord's going to... Fuck.
Nice. Oh.
Yeah, he's going to get down and fuck. Gord stands back up, and he just hammers into him again with his glaive. Is a 15 going to hit?
Yes, just.
Yes. That's 10 damage.
So Gord stands up to his feet, comes in with his glaive again, and just catches it as he's pulling this bolt out of his neck. And Gord just gets the glaive right on the tip, just below his chin. And it rips the flesh open, and you see more of this blood just kind of fall out of his skin as he falls and hits the ground. The skeletons drop to piles of bones near the cage, and you guys are now out of initiative. As...
Okay, holy shit, guys.
Hold on. The fight ends, and as the vampire Tom Cruise, pale-faced-looking motherfucker, hits the ground, he's still breathing, for lack of a better term, but he looks up at you guys, and he looks around the room. You see his pupils that were dilated kind of return to normal size, and it looks as though he's like returning to reason, and he just kind of tries to figure out where he's at, and you hear him mouth the words, "Where? Aurora? Aurora?" And just as he says that, a gust of wind disturbs the room as a blurred figure moves into the room in a flash. Before you can think, a tall, slender elf is kneeling beside the body of the Tom Cruise, pale-skinned, vampire-looking motherfucker. And as you look closer, it's a woman of pale skin, inhaling grief and exhaling unconditional love, bloody tears streaming down her face.
Aurora, you can't aim. Of course, my love. I couldn't bear to see you in your maddened state, the pain you must have felt. What you did to me, you changed me into. I did what I had to do to save your life, LeBron. But it would appear that the madness was your final undoing. And what of the ritual? It was unsuccessful, but I've interesting news. We've ended up in your world. You must be pissed. Aye. But at least you will sleep soundly on the soil of your own world. Do it.
And with final words exchanged, Aurora plunges a wooden stake into the heart of LeBron Lemaire as his body quickly turns to ash, falling softly to the stone. Aurora turns to you, wiping bloody tears from her face, and says,
I will need some time to regain my composure. Please enjoy the comfort of my home, and I will have Charles summon you when I am ready to speak.
And she leaves the room in the same supersonic gust of wind. And you suddenly see Charles appear at the door. He offers you to have a short rest in the living space on the main floor. And he offers you guys some food for those who have not yet...
partook?
Yeah. So you guys can all head upstairs if you want. and take a short rest.
I definitely would have popped a good berry into Dario's mouth. Nom 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 nom.
Yeah, Dario, with the good berry in your mouth, you pop back up and you stand up. So you guys go up and you take a short rest if you guys want to heal any hit points right now.
Perfect. Does the food come with any benefits like it did last time?
Yes, so for those of you that didn't, gain 1d6 temporary hit points for 8 hours. So Charles has escorted you to the room, and upon entering Aurora's quarters, the room is noticeably cold, even with a lit hearth. Several bookshelves, armoires, and chests line the walls, and lush fur rugs cover most of the floor. In the center of the south side of the room sits a beautiful coffin surrounded by lit candles. Standing with her back to you in front of the hearth, she turns her head slightly and says,
"I wasn't always a vampire. I was like you once. Foolish, naive, in love with life. I was a world-class hunter, and I was determined to hunt for that which I could not yet understand. It wasn't until I became the hunted and lost my own mortality that I understood the finality of life, how precious time really is. My elven brethren live a millennia, and yet here I stand, alone and broken, jaded and scorned. Unable to feel the warmth of this fire. I only wished to give LeBron an eternity. I did not wish him to succumb to the insanity of returning to mortality. He locked himself up in that lab for weeks, obsessing over a cure, until madness took him and I could no longer stand to reason with him. I do thank you for bringing him to an honorable decline. It was not something I could do willingly. His death will not be forgotten."
After Gord hears that, he turns around and walks out the door, and he goes, "Fucking vampires," and leaves.
Okay, then she kind of looks a little confused, side to side, makes eye contact with a few of you, and she's like,
"Okay, I don't rightly know what that was about, but the rest of you, what would you like to know?"
"I want to know, why is Evernight in the Fae?"
"There was a ritual that took place in the Shadowfell. That ritual is why this city is in your dear land."
"It was the stones, wasn't it? Something about them stones."
"Yes, the stones did aid in the ritual."
"And what are they exactly?"
"Those stones were aquaradium, stones made by the ancient elven mages long ago. Said to hold great power in ritual casting, but very dangerous when used incorrectly."
"So these stones were collected, and where does the mage come into this? Why is she doing this?"
"Years ago, this mage approached me. Her name is Seraphim the Black. She was a member of the Shadow Kai, procuring souls and memories, trinkets of the material mortals, for the Raven Queen herself. She grew tired and resentful of the Raven Queen's lack of wanderlust, and feeling much like a serf, she imagined a Shadowfell where she herself could rule from the shadows, a world where she could lead the Shadow Kai to greatness above all else. She began a rebellion and overthrew the Raven Queen, as some of you must know. That is where the mage fits in. Her lust for power saw her to the top. She herself became a demigod, though at a cost. The one detail unbeknownst to her was that with that power, she would become one with the Fell, bonded to the plane for eternity, unable to leave. This was especially upsetting to her, as the material plane was her home and she longed to return with her hard-earned success and riches. It was 5 years later that she came to me for counsel, and I told her that I would help her."
"So, you helped in all of this calamity."
"What did you do to help her?"
"I offered up my fiends. I offered up my undead."
"Well, why would she do that?"
"Because she promised me power and riches."
"Always power."
"So, let me understand something here. You have assisted this black mage in procuring this spell, in getting these stones. Are we to assume that you also procured all those people that died there?"
"No. The only thing that I procured for her was the Church of Mirkul."
"Be careful what you say next."
"I
I...
She's being real careful.
I commissioned the Church of Mercule to assist the mage in her ritual, yes, but this was after our falling out.
I'm so, so confused. I was selling cheese.
So who are we supposed to be mad at? I'm a little bit confused about it.
Listen, she spent years in the libraries of a home in the Fortress of Memories and came to some sort of epiphany. If she could not travel to the material, she would bring the material to her. She spoke of her plan as though it were foolproof. Using conjuration magic, she would open a portal big enough for a city to fit through, and imbued with the essence of blood magic and ritual sacrifice, she would tear the earth from the Shadowfell and transport it directly into the material plane.
Whoa.
You seem to know an awful lot about this plan in great detail.
She came to me with it.
Oh.
This plan, I advised against it, but she was too far gone, saying that the Shadowfell was not fit for a goddess of her stature, and that when she returned home, the people would worship her, or worse, she would force them to. This kind of power was unimaginable, and it could only be wielded by the gods themselves. I told her this, but then she was insulted. She was insulted, and I was left with no choice but to lend my fiends, for fear of my own life.
She sounds a little crazy.
Very crazy, indeed. Fucking gone. Madness. Lost to reason. This is when I commissioned the Church of Mercule to guard her and her chosen Shadow Kai, but I guess the ritual was too much for her body and mind. As you must know now, we are in the Feywild, not the material plane.
Nevelin is staring daggers at Dario every time she mentions the Church of Mercule.
I'm going to roll just for fun to see if I would notice. Nope. So I continue looking at Aurora, and I'm like,
okay, so where do you come into this, though? You are culpable for a lot that has happened. Look, I helped Seraphim the Black overthrow the Raven Queen. Yes, I was blinded by power. And yes, it was maybe a questionable thing to do, but in a realm of shadows, in the Shadow Fell. You are from there, cleric, no? I came here some time ago, and I have made my business in this realm. Then you must understand the suffering of the eternal bitterness of the Shadowfell. I only wanted to make myself comfortable. So, and in assisting the mage, I hence became noble once again.
Were you also trying to get to the material plane? Was this a mutual beneficial thing?
Yes, I was alone for the ride, so to speak.
So why tell us?
Because now I am stuck here in the Fae, nowhere near the material plane. I've riches aplenty and nowhere to spend them. I am bound for great things. I am destined for great things. But I cannot do these things in the Fae.
Then how could we change it?
There may be a way to reverse the ritual, putting back Evernight into the Shadowfell, but it would require...
Great magic?
Great magic.
Well, you're in luck, lady.
We are pretty great.
We need those stones again, though, don't we? I do not know what you need to reverse this ritual, but if it has been done, it can be undone. I do not know what extent of magic will be needed for such a feat, but I assure you, Seraphim the Black is not a force to be reckoned with, nor that of her brother.
She's got a brother?
The Barbarian.
Oh no.
Who's the Barbarian?
Gord's not gonna like that.
I thought Gord was the Barbarian.
No. Gord? This one was a much
I
larger.
I walk out of the room.
I hope he's not angrier than Gord.
He is very, very, very angry.
Oh, no.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this information. We do need this. And Aurora, you're going to be here from now on, or at least until this whole thing is reversed.
Yes.
Yeah, you got like a phone number or something? We can give you a call?
Yes.
Wait.
1-800-98-JENNY.
That's so weird. I know a few other people with that number too.
All right, Aurora, You reside over this city now, yes?
I suppose that I do. We might name drop you to some of the powerful entities within this plane. They might come and visit you. I don't know these things, but maybe. Are you okay with that?
Look, I am uncertain of how we ended up here, but I do know that it is a miracle she did not destroy the multiverse in the process. For this, I will no longer side with her atrocities, as she has lost all reason and I am now stuck in this place. You may name drop me, as you call it. I will not be gone from this place.
You are already trapped. All right, I feel like I've heard enough.
Where will you go now?
We traveled to San Elise.
San Elise? I do not know of this place, but...
I do.
Well, I wish you well upon your journeys, as distraught as it may be for you. I hope that some of this information may bring light to your travels.
Hey, lady, you know what would actually bring light to some of our travels? I got this sick new crossbow, and I just don't really have all that many bolts for it. You got any weapons or anything like that? Sounds like you really want us to do pretty good on this journey, so, like, why don't you give us some stuff?
I could offer you gold and possibly I could... Charles.
I come back
Charles.
In the room. How Charles. Much gold?
Charles.
Yes, my lady.
Please, find these companions some crossbow bolts and bring...
Silvered ones.
I'm not sure if we've any silver ones. You... I don't quite like silver myself.
I thought that was werewolves.
You would know that... No. Charles, find these companions some crossbow bolts and bring 5 pouches of gold, 100 each.
And Charles looks at her and is like,
yes, madam.
And he quickly walks away and you hear him trip up the stairs. A few moments later, you hear him come back down the stairs and he actually passes you in the hallway there, Gord.
Excuse me, sir.
And he like shuffles by you and goes into the armory where you guys were earlier and he pulls out 10 crossbow bolts from a crate and he brings them back and he drops them into your arms with a pouch of gold, Torque, and he passes out 1 pouch of 100 gold each to all of you. So she looks at you all and she says,
I hope that this gold will help you on your journey to San Elise, or at least maybe you could spend it once you're there, perhaps at a later time.
Okay, wow, boy, thank you so much. That's pretty cool of you to give us all this cool stuff.
I want this place gone.
You want your goats back?
And I do want my goats. Of course I want my goats.
Then we can't forget that chicken.
But I also want to get Gord's family back.
Yes, we're going to right these wrongs. And you, Aurora, justice will come for you as well at some other date. But maybe this is enough for now that you're trapped here in your castle. Thank you for the supplies. We will continue on.
By the way, those hearths are lit.
Oh.
They are truly lit.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
Tally-ho.
And as you guys walk away, she looks back to you, Dario.
Yeah.
And she says...
Are they in love now?
Cleric.
Yes.
Go fuck yourself.
And that's where we're ending the session.
Sounds like love to me.
Hey guys, time for our Patreon shoutout here on Modus Critica. This week we're adding a few more wonders of the world to our Patreon ranks. A sister from another mister, a dear friend, a great D&D player, and one hell of a mom wizard, Jen Story. See in the pit, winky face emoji. Our next mother figure is a wonderful shining star of a teacher and one hell of a bard to boot. Mrs. G, thank you for bringing Kyle into this world, and also for letting me crash on your floor. I'll look after him, I promise. And last, but most certainly not least, we have a brother from another mother, a Warhammer legend, the rogue in the shadows, Derek Steffen. Get out to see you soon, brother. Until next time.